I can become a son of God. John 1:12 says that those who believe upon me can become a son of God. But, you know, that's exactly right. I was not born of a virgin. I'm not the head of every man. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says that Christ is the head of everyone. He's the first man ever to be resurrected from the tomb. As I said in my first speech, God is his dad. I have an earthly dad. Yeshua did not. Yahweh was his father. You know, not only is he called the Son of God, which proves he's not God. It does. It does prove he's not God. No doubt that he's God. I agree with you. There's no doubt about that. The point of the debate tonight is not whether he's God, in a sense, or called God. That's not the point. The point is he God? Is he the second person of the Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father? Did he create the heavens and the earth? We'll get to those passages tonight, hopefully. Put up the chart, brother. He's also called the only begotten Son of God. No one was ever begotten by God like Yeshua was. Passages like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave himself? No. That he gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son of who? The only begotten Son of God. The word begotten is monogenes in the Greek language. It means single of its kind, used of only sons or daughters, viewed in relation to their parents, used of Christ, denotes the only begotten Son of God. That's from Thayer's Greek English lexicon of the New Testament. It's used in like Luke 9:38. The Bible says, for he is my only child. But what is very significant is that it's used in Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, that would not say that Isaac was Abraham. The Bible says God has an only begotten son, so therefore his son is not God. He's the Son of God. Once again, there's no argument that Yeshua is God. I can say that with promise, with the Father, with the author John in John 1:18, the only begotten God. I have no problem with that. The problem that I have is elevating him to the level of the only true God. And in John 17:3, he called his Father the only true God, and he meant that, and he said that. Only true really means only true in John 17:3. The Father is the only true God, John 17:3. Next chart. I want to pick up this first speech in John 20:28, falling on the heels of what I just mentioned. John 17:3, you need to keep in mind that Yeshua said, praying to his Father, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. And Yeshua the Christ came down soon. The common Trinitarian rebuttal to that is that it takes a joint knowledge of the Father and the Son to have salvation. And you will find no argument from there. That misses the point of the argument, though. The argument is not that it doesn't take a joint knowledge. You know, no man can get to the Father except through the Son. He's the door, as the Gospel of John states very readily. The point is that he identified his Father as the only true God, and then he distinguished himself from that position in the very same verse. Somebody says, well, that was when he was speaking as a man. Look, that's exactly right. That's definitely when he was speaking as a man. But they try to split him up and make him have dual natures. I've heard of even triple natures before. But it's amazing what people do with the biblical text when it doesn't align with their theology. Just a few verses before John 20:28, Yeshua said, I have sinned unto my Father and your Father. Now, Pat's already conceded that he's not his Father, and this would be one of the verses that would prove that. He says, my Father will. Very next breath, he says, my God and your God. But therefore, he's not that God. He's not that Father. A few verses after has John saying, and many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Yeshua is what? The Christ, the Son of God. If God and Son of God mean the same thing, Pat, why didn't all these passages just say God? No, Son of God means something different than God. It does mean something different. Just like Son of the Father means something different than the Father. Son of Eric means that I'm not Eric. Son of my dad means I'm not my dad. Son of the carpenter means I'm not that carpenter. My dad may teach me carpentry. I may become a carpenter, but I will never be that one. Because I'm the son of the carpenter. So Yeshua is called God in the same sense that Isaiah 9:6 calls him the mighty God. Brown Driver 3 defines that as divine hero. That's one of the leading scholarly Hebrew lexicons. The prophecy says he shall be called, meaning in the future. He is not the mighty God at that point. But he shall be called in the future. So Thomas surely called him God, but Yeshua called Yahweh his God, so let's not forget that. Yahweh never called Yeshua my God. You never find where Yahweh said that Yeshua was his God, but you always find where Yeshua said that Yahweh was his God. We want to get to some passages wrongly used on chart number 42. He quotes Acts 20:28, "See the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." I have no problem with that translation. I have no problem with the word theos. But it is not uncommon for people to refer to their children as their own flesh and blood. So I could have an adopted child, or I could have a begotten child. I have four children. They're my own flesh and blood. They are. If they died, I would give my own flesh and blood. And God shed his own blood. His son. Both the American Bible Society and the Institute for New Testament Research in Germany, which produces the Nestle-Allen Greek text, agree that the manuscript evidence supports the reading. You can pronounce that. I can't do it. Literally, the blood of his own, speaking of the son. Not his own blood. Now, this is the Nestle-Allen Greek text. This is the text that most of your Bibles today, NIV and ASV, are based upon in the Greek New Testament. In Romans 9:5, I'll tell you what, he's not moved to that passage, so let's just go to the next chart. Philippians 2, verse 6. Yes, Yeshua is in the form of God. That proves my position. He's not God, he's in the form of God. The Greek word here is morphe, defined by theos, the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision, the external appearance. It's used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In Judges 8:18, it says, each one resembles, morphe, the children of a king. Those children resembled the children of a king. It doesn't mean they were the children of a king. It means they resembled them. In Isaiah 44:13, the carpenter stretches out his stool and makes it after the figure of a man, the morphe of a man. Does that mean that that idol or whatever it was, that carpentry work, was a man or was it in the form of a man? Well, we all know what the answer is. You know what the answer is. Was Yeshua God or was he in the form of God? You know what the answer is. This is just like saying that Yeshua is the image of God. Yes, he is the image of the invisible God. I don't argue with that. He is. Philippians 2:6, the New American Standard Bible, says, who, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. And that, yes, that does mean that he did not have it. That's exactly what it means. He was in the form of God, but yet he did not seek to reach equality with God. He didn't grasp for it. You know, when he was on the cross, he could have called multitudes of angels down to stop what was happening right then and there. He could have. He was in the form of God. He was in the image of God. God had given him many means, or much power, I should say. But yet he didn't do that. He humbled himself in Philippians 2, says, and became obedient unto death. You know, if he could have sought equality with Yahweh God, how in the world could he have been Yahweh God? But he didn't seek for that equality. He instantly did. He was likened to the story of the king's son that jumped over the wall of the kingdom and lived as a prince. A king's son is a very mighty position. But if he would humble himself, jump over the wall, lived as a pauper, come in the likeness of a common man. Philippians 2:6, the next chart, translation. Basically, all these translations say the same thing. The New Jerusalem Bible, read the last one, who being in the form of God did not count equality with God something to be grasped. The understanding of the above verse, and I'm repeating myself for emphasis, is that Yeshua was in the form, the morphe of God, he being God's own son, John 3:16, the very image of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the exact copy of God, Hebrews 1:3. Let this be known. If Yeshua is a copy of God, a character of God, Hebrews 1:3, he's not God. But he's a copy of God's own being. The idea that the term character or copy denotes the same time period or that he has to be everlasting just misses the whole word. Never is Yahweh called a copy of Yeshua. That's the Trinitarian argument. Well, they're a copy of each other. There is no Bible verse that says that Yahweh is a copy of Yeshua, but there is one that says that Yeshua is a copy of Yahweh. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Even though he held this lofty position, he did not consider being on an equality with God a thing to be seized upon. He rather emptied himself with his great stature. And we Christians ought to follow his example, according to Philippians 2 verse 5. We shouldn't exalt ourselves but humble ourselves. You know, there is a sense, next chart, in which Yeshua is equal with God. John 5:18 says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. But in what sense are we talking about? You know, Yeshua was the true begotten Son of Yahweh. He thus had a very authoritative position. Much like the Son of Kings, the Son of a King had more authority than the Son of a Prophet. Now, I want you to notice that this verse does not say that Yeshua was such. But it says that God was his Son. And that's by position. In other words, his Father was God. God was his Father. I'm repeating for emphasis, but you see, I'm not saying that. Yeshua was equal with Yahweh in the sense that his Father and God was Yahweh, literally, and was second in command by the authority of his Father. Joseph, while ruling, second in command over Egypt, Genesis 41, 40-43, was called by his brother Judah equal to God. Genesis 44, 18, NIV version. King James Version says, you are even as Pharaoh. Joseph was not equal to or even Pharaoh, or even as Pharaoh, in the sense that he and Pharaoh were of one being or one substance, but in the sense that Pharaoh had given Joseph full authority in the kingdom of Egypt. And God, if you remember Matthew 28:10, gave Yeshua full authority. And so he set him in command over the entire universe. You know, instead of putting up that chart, I want to make a few points on Luke in a second, okay? So you'll have a chance to respond. You know, Pat, you said in Luke 1:35, you made a point, you stressed it, and you did a real good job, that the reason that Yeshua was the Son of God was because of the conception. Luke 1:35 states that in very plain language, when it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. You notice that word, therefore. It gives us the reason why Yeshua is the Son of God. New American Standard Bible says, for this reason. Now, what this proves is that he was not the Son of God before his conception. He was the Son of God because of his conception. For this reason, he is the Son of God. He did not exist as a spirit being back in Genesis 1:26. Hopefully, we'll get to the let us back. It's very easily understood. And no, I don't believe that it is. But it is very easily understood. But this would show us why he's the Son of God. Because he was miraculously conceived through the womb of a virgin. That's why. Therefore, before that happened, he was not the Son of God. Only in the plan of Yahweh was he the Son of God. Revelation 13, verse 8 says that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he did pre-exist in Yahweh's plan or mind. But we all don't believe that he was literally hanging upon the cross by the Father all the way before the foundation of the world. But yet Revelation 13, 8 says he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so, yes, he did pre-exist in that city, in the plan of Yahweh, in a mighty way. He was before Abraham, John 8:58, in the plan of Yahweh. The Jews in that passage misunderstood him. All through the passage they misunderstood him. Thought he was speaking literally. Just like in John 6 when he said, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they misunderstood him there. They thought he was speaking literally, but he was not. No one thinks except the Roman Catholics that he was speaking literally. Neither was he speaking literally in John 8. He was speaking in the plan of Yahweh. And so he is the Son of God in a literal sense. I hope that Pat nor none of you believe that I think he's just like me. As I said before, Yahweh was his Father. Imagine if you had a man who told you, Yahweh is my dad. I've got an earthly father. I'm sure he was. Yahweh was his Father. He really was. Yahweh really did have a son. He really did. You have to believe. He really did have a son. He mentioned that I tried to make a parallel, and I think he missed my point, and that's, I think he did it ignorantly. On my first chart where Yeshua was called God and where he was called the Son of God. I'm not trying to pit 58 times to 3 times. I'm not trying to do that. What I'm trying to point out is that Yeshua is called God. Yes, he is. No problem there. But he's also called the Son of God. Because he's called the Son of God, he's not that God. Just like Pat believes he's called the Son of the Father, therefore he's not that Father. Is he God? Yes. Is he in the sense that Mr. Donahue believes? No. He's not the second person of the Trinity. He doesn't share a co-equality or co-eternality with God. But he is God in a lieutenant sense, a representative sense, a vice-regent sense. Those are correcting on the pronunciation, I appreciate it. Vice-regent. Thank you so much for your time.